This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Tear gas clouds and shining glass towers. The streets of Charlotte, North Carolina erupt.
We cannot tolerate violence. We cannot tolerate the destruction of property, and will not tolerate the attacks toward our police officers that are occurring right now. And I feel very strongly about that. That is not the American way.
That's North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory telling CNN he's declared a state of emergency.
They started their push. Next thing you know, shots rang out. At first, it was the paintballs. Then they shot rubber bullets. Next thing you know, a real shot rang out.
We want to be able to walk the streets of our own neighborhoods that we pay good tax dollars for in peace, knowing that our children are going to come home safe, knowing that our husbands are going to come home safe, knowing that we're going to come home safe.
Voices from the street yesterday in Charlotte, North Carolina. A police officer's fatal shooting of a reportedly armed African-American man, Keith LaLonde Scott, on Tuesday, has spiraled into nights of violence. Last night, a man was shot and critically wounded during protests. Charlotte is the commercial hub of North Carolina and a regional economic powerhouse, influencing North and South. It's home to both the Levine Museum of the New South and the NASCAR Hall of Fame. There are two pro sports teams here. But Charlotte and North Carolina are known lately for the controversial bathroom bill, HB2. Brenda Tendell is a historian and senior vice president of exhibits and education at the Levine Museum of the New South. She grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina.
This also happens on the heels of what happened in Tulsa with Terrence Crutcher. And, of course, a combination of events, including 3 years ago, the police-involved shooting of Jonathan Ferrell. Schools are in a bit of a conundrum in terms of the resegregation of schools, voting rights. It's an election season. We've been deeply involved in the discourses related to HB2. So it's a combination of issues that are happening at the local level, but also on the national stage as well. And so I would argue that it's a conspiring of local and national issues that have led us to this very difficult moment in our city.
Reminding people, HB2, of course, was the law that was passed that restricted people of transgender identity from using bathrooms of their own choice, a law that came from a very conservative group in North Carolina. Would you say that Charlotte sits sort of right on this divide? It's a very diverse city, but it is in a very, very conservative state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think HB2 has been subsumed in many ways in the issue of sort of bathrooms. And bathrooms are but one component of a much larger, I would argue, civil rights issue as it relates to HB2.
Would you say that the state is going backwards on civil rights and that that's the perception of some of the people in the streets? Certainly you have these riots in the midst of glass towers and high-end shopping malls and people who really, really feel as though this is not their city. That's the impression you get looking at what's going on the street.
I would argue what's happening in Charlotte is not unique. I think what we've seen across the nation has been a frustration that is deeply informed by what's happening across the country. And so I think Charlotte is part of a much larger sort of national outcry for justice, for civil rights, for equity, for wanting to be seen, certain demographics wanting to be seen as human beings and wanting to be treated as such.
So you would say that not so much the changes in Charlotte over the last few decades have raised these voices, but you find that Charlotte is the voice of urban America rising up in a very conservative state, not unlike Ann Arbor in Michigan, Detroit in Michigan, and other cities, Austin, Texas, for instance, in Texas, where the politics are very, very different within the city and very conservative statewide. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I also think that this isn't happening in a vacuum. That is to say that this isn't the first time that Charlotte has had to confront some really difficult issues at the intersection of complicated matters at the city level. So, for instance, in 1997, a very similar social and political climate in Charlotte was evident. There were a number of incidences, including police-involved shootings, the prospect of public schools resegregating, and really an influx or an increase in ethnic and regional diversity in the city that led to some tumult. And so in that regard, what's happening in 2016 was also happening in 1997. And so this isn't a new wave of disconcertedness among or concern among our community. We've seen this before. So, yeah, this is something that is evident on the national stage. But again, Charlotte is not immune from these episodes of discontent.
African-Americans make up about a third of the population of Charlotte. The chief of police in Charlotte is an African-American. Why is there such difficulty among the police leadership in reaching the demonstrators?
Wow. I mean, I think that's a really good question. And we also shouldn't assume that the protesters are a racially monolithic. What I saw last night when I was I actually attended the protests at Marshall Park that ended up leading to the Little Rock AME Zion Church. And from there, there were a group of protesters that sort of defected from what was a planned peaceful protest. It was a very diverse demographic. And so in many ways, as much as police-involved shootings have a racialized contour, I think it transcends race. I think nationally and certainly locally, we have some issues with community engagement and policing. And so I think the issue is far more nuanced than the racialized dynamics that certainly inform the relationship between police and the communities that they are supposed to serve.
You're Senior Vice President of Exhibits and Education at the Levine Museum of the New South in Charlotte. It sounds to me like in many ways the leadership is really not prepared for the kinds of voices that they are hearing, regardless of race, that the scale of this has taken the authorities in Charlotte on many levels by surprise. Would you agree with that?
I definitely think the kinds of sort of protesting that has taken place in Charlotte may be not as familiar to our city. While we've dealt with issues, as I suggested in 1997, that very, very much mimic what is happening right now, the kinds of responses that we're seeing from the community is indeed, I think, new in some ways. And so, for instance, when Carrick trial, as it relates to the Jonathan Ferrell case, the officer involved in his shooting, when he was acquitted, we did not see the kinds of spasm of rioting and protests at that time that we're seeing right now. And so it certainly could be the case that we weren't nearly as prepared for this kind of reaction or response from our community.
How would you say, before we go, that the success of Charlotte has brought with it some of these demands for equality and racial and economic justice, if that is indeed the case?
I think I would agree with our mayor, who in the press conference on yesterday morning, she really illuminated the way in which Charlotte has a legacy of being a very cooperative place in terms of its civic and business and community sectors. And so that has, in many ways, allowed Charlotte to face difficult moments with robust community engagement and cooperation. I feel very confident that even in light of these very difficult moments, that we will marshal that same kind of energy and approach to address our current situation.
Would you say Governor McCrory has credibility on the streets of Charlotte this week?
I would say that these are challenging times for our governor, for sure. And again, the combination of social and political issues shaping the state and Charlotte, I would argue, makes this a very difficult time for our governor, for sure.
Can you still smell tear gas this morning?
I did not smell tear gas, but I can tell you that Center City is a quiet place. It's much quieter. And I actually took a drive through University City, which was where the first night of protesting took place. And it was very quiet there as well. And for me, that is symbolic of our community really trying to process what is happening.
Brenda Tendle is a historian and senior vice president of exhibits and education at the Levine Museum of the New South in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks so much, Brenda.
Thank you.
I'm Elizabeth in Pineville, North Carolina, just south of Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've lived in the area for 13 years. I'm a little shocked, perplexed, and saddened by the riots that have happened over the last couple of days, and it's something that you think won't happen in your town until it does.
This is Frances Dawson from Cornelius, North Carolina. I'm sad that worthy, peaceful protest is usurped by those not inspired to effect change, but rather intent on promoting fear and anger. A useful message is lost in the headlines.
Incredibly frustrated, says someone from Charlotte, that these protests can't stay peaceful, especially in the absence of any footage showing what actually happened. It serves only to harm an incredibly important cause. I have a feeling this will end like all the other recent shootings, with little more than lip service or nominal changes paid to communities of color until the next black man dies at police hands under questionable circumstances.
I'm saddened by the hate that I see in so many social media posts. I'm fearful of the world that we're creating for our children. I'm shocked by the violence. I'm hopeful that we can come together as humans. And I'm ashamed that this makes me look at all people in terms of race or social class.
Another Charlotte resident, extremely frustrated both with inaccurate coverage of the protests and with authorities' refusal to release the video of Scott's death. We will continue to protest.
I'm calling from Charlotte. I am feeling scared, worried, and sad for my city. That people would come together instead of doing protests where they're using violence and fear. I've had friends have guns pulled on them now. I have a husband who has to drive through all of this to get to work and home. And I'm just hoping that it all ends soon.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or comment at thetakeaway.org.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Curious.com, committed to helping people build their CQ or Curious quotient through the game of lifelong learning. Curious, where people can learn something new every day at curious.com/PRI and Staples. With copy and print solutions for small business, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, and custom framed prints and posters. More at Staples stores or staples.com. Staples, make more happen.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.